إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد أرحب بكم جميعا. I welcome all of you. We continue our classes in reading from الملخص الفقهي of our noble شيخ العلامة الدكتور صالح الفوزان حفظه الله. But before that, we remind you of the importance of being in these classes, as these classes are for us to learn our deen, and therefore we should be consistent, because if you want the deen, we cannot learn it in one sitting or two, or one day or two. So we have to be serious about it and be consistent and make it a priority. We know priorities, alhamdulillah, so let's make this a priority. Especially if we doesn't have anything important to do. This should take precedence over anything else. Remind you of the great hadith that is agreed upon by Imam al-Bukhari, Imam Muslim, on the authority of Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan radiallahu anhu, or anhuma, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ بِهِ خَيْرًا يُفَقِّهُ فِي الدِّينِ. If Allah intends good for a person, will give them the correct understanding and the sound understanding of the religion. قال الشيخ صالح الفوزان حفظه الله التفقه في الدين من أفضل الأعمال وهو علامة الخير. Learning, seeking knowledge so that you will acquire sound understanding of the religion is considered from the most noble and virtue of all actions, and it is a sign of good. If a person wants to know if he or she are upon good, this is it. You see how much they understand in this religion. So we're going to try to remind you, alhamdulillah, as we heard the reminder of the Salat, we're going to try to remind one another about the importance of this matter. We're not here for entertainment, and we don't supposed to be here just because we got nowhere else to go. No, we're here because we choose to be here. We choose to be in this class at this present moment because we need to learn this deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because we know that we cannot be ignorant. Ignorance is a fatal disease, and we want to remove ourselves from ignorance, and we want to learn the deen of Allah from its proper sources, and we want to apply the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that's what's going to help us in this life and in the hereafter, inshallah. We're going to continue from this reading from the section of Ahkam al-Janaiz. In al-Mulakhas al-Fiqhi, we're still in the big section of al-Salat, but this is the end part of it. The section for Ahkam al-Janaiz. Rulings and regulation pertaining to funerals. And we are in a part when the Shaykh is talking about the Taghseel al-Mayyit, Ahkam al-Wafat, Taghseel al-Mayyit, the third part in this section, which is the washing of the deceased body. Washing of the body of a deceased Muslim, whether it be a male or a female. We stopped at the point that the last thing we mentioned, that the person who's more entitled and has more right to wash a deceased person, it is that person that it is found in the will. If a person leaves a will and says, look, if he died, he wants so-and-so to wash his body. So that person takes precedence over any others with one condition. Who knows what condition? Who remember the condition? Naam.
He's qualified if he knows how to
do it. Ahsant. Meaning that he has to be qualified. And what qualify him, Sajid?
Knowing the regulations.
Ahsant. Knowing the regulations. Knowing. What does it mean, Ahmed? Ahsan, knowing how to do it. And how a person know how to do it, Amir? How he know how to do it? Inshallah. You see? Jazakallah khair. That's a good answer too. If you say, I don't know, that's a good answer. The problem is certain people don't know and they want to try to get you whatever they want to give you. That's a good answer, Amir. Jazakallah khair. As we learn from that, if we don't know, we say, Allahu A'lam, I don't know. Na'am. And that's what the Sahaba used to do when the Prophet ﷺ used to ask them. They say, Allahu A'lam. Allah and His Messenger know best. Now we say, Allahu A'lam. Okay? Meaning, they should know how to wash the body. Not just bring a bucket and put it on and make a big mess and splash. No. Know how to do it. According to what? Sunnah, ahsant, according to the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. Okay? So what if that person now, he don't know? We talked about this last week. Naam, Akhi Muhammad. What if that person who's in the will don't know? He's not a person who know what to do.
Should be a person who knew
to huh? Naam. Nah. Who will be entitled? Now, who took that responsibility? Amir.
His grandfather.
You're close.
His father.
Ahsant. The closest relative to him, his father, if he's alive, if he's not the grandfather or the uncle or and the like. But with one condition too. What is it? Huh? They know how to do it. You see? But if none of those people that the Shaykh mentioned know how to do it according to the Sunnah, then they have to find someone who knows how to do it according to the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. قال فإنه يقدم العالم بأحكام التغسيل على من لا علم له. The one who have knowledge of the rulings and regulations of how to wash the body is pouring forward before those who don't know. Even if they are the family of the person, even that's his father, that's his son, he don't know, he should sit back and let the one who know take care of it, inshallah. Now we continue. قال الشيخ حفظه الله والمرأة تغسلها النساء والأولى بتغسيل المرأة الميتة وصيتها. He says, now another point, as for the woman, when a woman die, because women die too, not only men. Alright? Women die too, right?
That's right, brother.
I know. Everybody die. Human being die, men and women. Okay, so the woman is to be washed by women, not by men. And likewise, for the men, for the women too. There are those women who take precedence, meaning those women that she put on her will. Before she died, she said, look, if I died, I want the sister so-and-so to wash my body. They have to honor that. And of course, with the same ruling she has, she should know how to do it. فإن كانت أوسط أن تغسلها امرأة معينة قدمت على غيرها إذا كان فيها صلاحية لذلك ثم بعدها تتولى تغسلها القربة فالقربة من نسائها. So if a woman leave a will that such and such, and she assign a woman to wash her body, then that woman should be the one that take care of them. Of course, if she's qualified, she know how to do it. She knows the rules and the regulations of the washing of the body. If she does not know, then it moves to the closest family members, to the women. Her uncle, her aunt, her grandmother, her sisters and the like, who know, of course, the regulations. فالمرأة يتولى تغسيلها النساء على هذا الترتيب والرجل يتولى تغسيله الرجال على ما سبق. So when a woman died, she's not to be washed by men, no, by women. Following this explanation that the Shaykh gave. Likewise, as we mentioned before, he says, men, they are washed by other men. وَلِكُلِّ وَاحِدٍ مِنَ الزَّوْجَيْنِ تَغْصِيلُ صَاحِبِهِ فَالرَّجُلُ لَهُ أَنْ يُغَصِّلَ زَوْجَتَهُ وَالْمَرْأَ لَهَا أَنْ تُغَصِّلَ زَوْجَهَا. Now, this is general ruling. No man has the right to wash a woman's body, even if she's dead. And no woman has a right to wash the body of a deceased man, except in one condition, the spouses between them. It is permissible for each one of them to wash the other. So it is permissible for the man to wash the body of the deceased wife. Likewise, it is permissible for the wife to wash the body of her deceased husband. They say it's her late husband, right? That's English?
Yes,
exactly. قال لأن أبا بكر الصديق رضي الله عنه أوصى أن تغسله زوجته ولأن علي رضي الله عنه غسل فاطمة وولد مثل ذلك عن غيرهما من الصحابة. The Sheikh says that because, for instance, Abu Bakr al-Siddiq رضي الله عنه, he left in his will that his wife to wash his body. In his will, he indicated that his wife, she's the one that washes his body. And also another example from the companions, the Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan mentioned, Hafidahullah, that Ali radiallahu anhu, he washed the body of Fatima radiallahu anha. She died before him. She died way, you know, she died right after her father died, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our noble prophet, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And also the Sheikh, he says the same things occurs from other companions. وَلِكُلٍ مِنَ الرِّجَالِ Another point. وَلِكُلٍ مِنَ الرِّجَالِ وَالنِّسَاءِ غَسْلُ مَنْ لَهُ دُونَ سَبْعِ سِنِينَ ذَكَرًا كَانَ أَوْ أُنْثَى. He said, now it is permissible for men and women to wash the body of a child. When a child die and they didn't reach 7 years yet, they are under seven, then it is permissible for that child to be washed by men and women, regardless that child is a male or a female, regardless if it's a boy or a girl. But with one condition, what is it? Abdullah? Huh? Amir? Amir? No. I just mentioned the condition.
You have to be mature.
No. Huh? Under the age of seven. That boy or that girl, they have to be under the age of seven. What about 9 years old? Mustafa? No? Okay. Because they don't live in the same state? Why no? Ahsant. So you know your math. Very good. طيب. قال ابن المنذر أجمع كل من نحفظ عنه من أهل العلم على أن المرأة تغسل الصبي الصغير. And then in الإجماع, Ibn al-Munzir, one of the great scholars of the past, he mentioned that he said all of those ulama that we learn from them, the a'imma, from people of knowledge, they have a consensus and agreement that the woman is allowed to wash the young boy, to wash the body of a young boy. قال ولأنه قال الشيخ الفوزان حفظه الله تعالى لأنه لا عورة له في الحياة فكذا بعد الموت. He says because this the young boy under seven doesn't have an aura. He's not considered from those people that have to, dress properly in front of other women and the like. Likewise, after their death, وَلِأَنَّ إِبْرَاهِيمَ إِبْنِ النَّبِي صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ غَسَّلَهُ النِّسَاءُ. And also because Ibrahim, the son of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he died, he was washed by women.
The son of Ibrahim, is
it? No, the son of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. His name is Ibrahim.
Oh, okay.
Ibrahim, the son of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. His name was Ibrahim, not the Nabi Allah Ibrahim. The Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he have a son whose name Ibrahim. And he died very young. وليس لامرأة غسل ابن سبع سنين فأكثر ولا لرجل غسل ابنة سبع سنين فأكثر. So therefore, the Shaykh says, it is not permissible for a woman to wash the body of a deceased child that reached the age of seven or older than that. And likewise, it is not for a man to wash the body of a young girl that reached the age of seven and above. Okay? Now.
So that's included non-family members as well?
Anybody, yes. Now. وَلَا يَجُوزُ لِمُسْلِمٍ أَنْ يُغَسِّلَ كَافِرًا أَوْ يَحْمِلَ جَنَازَتَهُ أَوْ يُكَفِّنَهُ أَوْ يُصَلِّ عَلَيْهِ أَوْ يَتَّبِعْ جَنَازَتَهُ. Now you pay attention, because this, all of this is, we pay attention to, but especially now this point that Sheikh mentioned, because you have to do with something that we are accustomed to, okay? Since we live amongst the non-Muslims, all right? He said, it is not permissible for a Muslim to wash a kafir, and a disbeliever, or to carry his body, or to shroud him, or to pray over his body, or to follow his funeral procession. So some people, they ask these questions, Muslims. He's a Muslim, but his grandmother died upon kufr. See? His mother died, his father died upon shirk. Cousin died in a car accident upon kufr, upon Christianity. Or other than that, other shirk, people they ask, can they attend the funerals? Can they shroud them? Can they honor them? Can they pray over them? Can they go to the cemetery? Can they? Knowledge, when you learn, you know what to do. You know? Some people, even though they just go and do it, after they ask. The Shaykh said, it is not permissible for a Muslim to wash the body of a kafir, nor to carry his body, meaning the funerals, nor to shroud him, pray over them, or follow their janazah to the cemetery. All of this is not permissible. لماذا لقول الله تعالى في سورة الممتحنة the ayah 13 يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تتولوا قوما غضب الله عليهم يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تتولوا قوما غضب الله عليهم. Oh, you who believe, as the ayah 13 in Surah Al-Mumtahina, oh, you who believe, take not as friends and people who incurred the people who incurred the wrath of Allah upon them. People Allah is angry with them, they earn the wrath and the anger of Allah. قال فالآية الكريمة تدل بعمومها على تحريم تغسيله وحمله واتباع جنازته. So this ayah, in its general meaning, is a proof that it is not permissible to do any of the things that for the non-Muslim. Don't shroud their bodies, don't wash them. Yeah, subhanAllah, and this will open another window. If anybody has a family member that are non-Muslim yet, so this will really, really encourage you to be more, serious about giving him da'wah. Giving him da'wah and learning how to give it properly. Someone is like he thinks giving da'wah, go fight with them. Go tell them, you know what, you want to go on a hellfire? Or let it be, go to the hellfire. This is how you give da'wah? So how a person talked to his mother? They gave birth to him. Allah tells us, never disrespect your parents, even if they are non-Muslims. Never. وَإِنْ جَاهَدَاكَ عَلَىٰ أَنْ تُشْرِكَ بِي مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا وَصَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. You gotta learn how to give da'wah. When you like, subhanAllah, you say, look, if they die, I cannot pray over them, I cannot shroud them, I cannot take them, subhanAllah, I cannot attend their funeral, I cannot say, Allahumma aghfir lahum, oh Allah, forgive them. You can make dua for them, nothing. SubhanAllah, so you be like, before you go to sleep, it's always on your mind. You can enjoy your life, knowing that your parents are still upon dalal, on the brink of the hellfire if they die on that. As our Shaykh, Shaykh Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab al-Aqil, Hafidahullah, once he was talking about this point, and he says, how could it really a person who one of his parents, or maybe both, maybe his grandparents, cousins, aunts, uncles, maybe his entire family upon shirk, and he knows they are upon dalal, upon batil, they are not upon the haq, they are on a path that leads to the hellfire. He said, how could a person really put his head on a pillow and go to sleep? How could a person, he said, enjoy his meals and his food, knowing that his mother, if she die upon shirk, she ain't going to know Jannah, even though shaitan got him down? No. Jesus died for their sins, and they're going to go to the paradise. The Shaykh, he says, if you have a person, a family member in your family that still upon kufr, not upon Islam, they are on the brink of the hellfire. He says, how you be laughing and you be really enjoying your life? Why, you know your mother, she may go in the hellfire if she die on that. He says, how could it be possible for a person who care about his mother, for instance, and father and grandmother, and still, some even, their children are not upon Islam. Some brothers, they're older, and Allah gave them to Islam, but their children, they are not upon Islam. Their grandchildren, they are not on Islam, upon shirk. So how could it be possible for this person, really, not trying their best, and make it their priority, make it a priority and to learn the skills of giving da'wah? It's not just to learn the skills and ask these questions constantly to the ulama. And then the Shaykh gave an example, subhanAllah, an amazing example. He says, can you imagine that same brother who Allah saved from the hellfire, from shirk, from kufr, and his mother and grandmother and parents and his brothers and sisters and siblings, cousins, they are still upon kufr. And that same brother now, he's driving, coming from the masjid, alhamdulillah, just heard class of tawheed, Allahu Akbar, his iman is high, and he's driving, and he passes in the same neighborhood that his mother lived, his parents, his grandmother in there, and everybody is in there, his family. And then, but that house is in fire. Really in fire. And his mother in the window, she's calling for help. His grandmother from the other window, they're trying to get, and they trapped. And he says, and this man, he look at him and see them, and he recognizes them. That's his grandmother yelling for help. That's his grandmother. That's his siblings trapped in, don't know how to get out. And he just keep going, drinking his coffee, and he keep going. He go home, and he's like, he said to his wife, where is the food? MashaAllah, here is, alhamdulillah, he's eating his food, and he won't take a shower, and he won't go to sleep. Would anyone in his right mind do this? I'm asking. Anyone in his right mind pass by his grandmother's house or mother in fire and just keep drinking his coffee, and he keep going home and take a shower and enjoy his meal and go to sleep? Nobody will do this. Well, guess what? People are doing it for something that is worse than that. not the fire in this life, the hellfire. Seeing their grandparents, their parents, siblings on the brink of entering the hellfire, he got to go enjoy his coffee. No, you got to find some time to talk to them. Make it your business. Make it your priority. Make dua in sujood. Give sadaqah. Talk to them. Try to be nice to them. Get close to them. Not just tell them, listen, you're upon kufr. No. Present Islam to them through your actions, through your manners. I forget the name of that tape, but it was tremendous talk. You may find it, inshallah, if you make an effort, you can find it. I want to share with you another story. This is a real story, was narrated to us by our beloved Sheikh, Sheikh Falah Ismail, when he visited us in America a couple of years ago. And he mentioned, subhanAllah, Allah, it's amazing. This life is, now you're in it, tomorrow you're gone. You may be praying janazah on one of us tomorrow. This is a sad but it's beautiful story at the same time. And it's a real story, by the way. This is not like a, this is a real story. It's about our brother, rahimahullah. Abu Talha, Dawood Burbank. You may not know this brother, but his brother, he was a Caucasian brother from England. And you see his names on some very good work he has translated, like Thalathatu Usul, the explanation of the three fundamental principles, Sheikh Al-Uthaymeen, that tremendous work is translated by this good brother, rahimahullah, and his wife, Abu Talha Dawood Burbank, and many other work, rahimahullah. Why I'm saying rahimahullah? Because 2 or 3 years ago, his noble brother from England, he was going to make Hajj. I don't know if you heard his story or not. He was going to make Hajj with his wife and 2 children, or one, and a group of Muslims from England. They are on their ihram because now they get to Jeddah. They just go on the Hajj. They're on their ihram. From the plane, they get on a bus, and that bus is taking them to Mecca. Right there in Jeddah, the bus caught on fire. The bus caught on fire. It was in the news. It's in YouTube if you want to check it. It caught on a fire. So, and people, they says that the brother and his wife, they were making sure that everybody get out. And when everybody get out, then the bus exploded in flame. And the brother and his wife, they were inside. And they died, rahimahullah. But that's not the story, actually. The story is years before this, when he was younger and he was a student in the Jamia. He got accepted in the Islamic University in Medina. And he was a good student. And he was in the last year. And he's going to graduate. He has a couple months. He has a couple months to finish and graduate, to get his degree from the Jamia. And Falah Ismail, the Sheikh Falah Ismail, he's the one who tells us this. He says, and this brother came to us and he's like, Sheikh, amongst others, I have to go back home. They're like, what do you mean you gotta go back home? You got a couple months to finish. He says, no. My father is very sick in the hospital. I don't know if I'm gonna see him if I stay here for a couple months. I gotta go talk to my father. He's not a Muslim. I gotta go talk to him, man, about Islam. Why am I studying this? To give da'wah to others, or my father is more worthy to give him da'wah, subhanAllah. He says, we tried our best. Yeah, Shaykh, all these years. Now you're not going to get a degree if you drop. If you drop right now, they're not going to give you a degree. You have a couple of months. Be patient. We make du'a for your father, inshallah. he says, no. I would love to finish, but I can't. This is more important. And he left. He dropped from the school. And he left. And he stayed with his father. And his father took shahada and died. Subhanallah. Sincerity. Of course, Sheikh Farah Ismail, when he was reciting, he was crying. La ilaha illallah. Sheikh Farah Ismail, he said, subhanAllah, we know then when he called us and said, subhanAllah, I have a good news. And we were like, subhanAllah, good news, his father. They already heard that his father died, but he says, alhamdulillah, he died upon Islam. In the Sheikh, he said, we didn't see him and heard of him for years, but then one year we went to England to give da'wah for the seminar. He says, amazingly, we came, his mother is a Muslim. His grandparents are Muslims. Cousins are Muslims. You see? He came, he's like, look, I'm going to work on my people. I'm going to work on my family. So now when you hear this statement, subhanAllah, you cannot wash a non-Muslim. You cannot take them. You cannot follow their funerals. You can't make dua for them. And then a person will say, subhanAllah, my mother, see, this is applying on my mother. This is applying on my grandmother that really worked hard for me after I lost my mother, and my grandmother became my mother. And she helped me, she raised me, she, subhanAllah, she's an older lady, but she worked hard for me and my brothers and my sisters. And then you ask yourself, what are you doing in return? Because your grandmother, she may not need your money. Maybe she's still taking care of you. Maybe she's still saving a little bit for you whenever you go and visit. Hey, this is for you. But this is not what we're talking about. Talking about making an effort to... Because guidance of success is only for Allah. Because you will never, don't you think that you're the one that going to guide them to Islam? The Prophet ﷺ couldn't guide his family members. Some of his family members died upon kufr. Likewise, other stories, Ibrahim ﷺ and his father, Nuh ﷺ and his son and wife, Lot and his... Now, we have stories of the prophets of Allah, and they as closest people to them die upon kufr and disbelief. But you don't know. Allah is Ar-Rahman, is Ar-Rahim. But once again, you just have to learn how to give da'wah properly. You gotta learn how to talk to them, how to, inshallah, but then the heart is in Allah's hands. And especially if you, brother or sister, 10 years ago, you're upon the same shirk. Okay? Now you're upon tawheed, sunnah. Alright, Allah guide your heart. Don't you ever say, man, they fall in the shirk. No, what do you mean they fall in the shirk? You used to be upon the shirk. If you were not, maybe you were born a Muslim, well, look around you. You see other people who, alhamdulillah, maybe you heard a story or two in your community, especially we live in America. We're not talking about the Saudi. The Saudi, or maybe in Muslim country, they may not know what we're talking about. But we live it, akhi. We live amongst people. And we know sometimes, yes, we know that sometimes a brother, he's the only Muslim in the entire family. I know. Some brothers tell me that. I'm the only one, akhi. Make dua for my mother. And I've seen throughout the years, some of the brothers, they were striving, and the sisters, striving hard, alhamdulillah. And some stories you hear, amazing. The grandmother, she's in the hospital. They brought her two or three priests, not just one. Priest calling her to, oh yeah, you're dying with the love of Jesus. And then she's like, look, call Abdul. She has all the Christian around her and the priest and this and all that. She's like, call Abdul, my grandson. He's a Muslim. What do you want him? She said, call him now. And he comes and he's like, yes, you know, he's coming. All of the room is filled with Christians and rabbis and priests and And she's like, remember what you were telling me? I think you're right, grandson. You're right. Yeah, subhanAllah. Because you never know when. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-Hakim, the all-wise. He just wants to open the window. He may do any good. He may shake some of us hearts. Inshallah, so we be concerned and we be serious about those people that we claim we love and we care about them. Alright? That woman that gave birth to you and you couldn't eat, you couldn't change your diapers, unless if she put her hand on you. She don't sleep unless you sleep. She don't eat unless you eat. Amen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah At-Tawbah, verse 84, وَلَا تُصَلِّ عَلَىٰ أَحَدٍ مِّنْهُمْ مَاتَ أَبَدًا وَلَا تَقُمْ عَلَىٰ قَبْرِهِ إِنَّهُمْ كَفَرُوا بِاللَّهِ. And never, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, pray funeral prayer for any of them, those hypocrites, who dies, nor stand at his grave. Certainly they disbelieved in Allah and his Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and die while they are fasiqoon. Also in the Surah At-Tawbah, in verse 113, قال الله تعالى وَمَا كَانَ لِلنَّبِيِّ مَا كَانَ لِلنَّبِيِّ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَنْ يَسْتَغْفِرُوا لِلْمُشْرِكِينَ. It is not proper for the Prophet and those who believe to ask Allah's forgiveness for the mushrikun. Can't ask. Can't just say, oh Allah, forgive my grandma. Can't. Because Allah doesn't forgive shirk. Allah doesn't forgive shirk. And especially, can you imagine now, it's two different cases. Someone who's making a priority in his life, I got to do this something about it. Still his grandma or mother or family died upon shirk. He's not like the one who didn't do anything about it. No, he didn't do anything about it. That's two different things. At least one, he worked hard. He took the means. And of course, you're rewarded for that. Great reward. And keep in hand that the result is only with Allah. He opened the hearts. He, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, chose. As He chose us, walhamdulillah, and we're happy and we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for guiding us to Islam, then we have to constantly thank Allah. Follow the means. Work hard. Learn how to do it the right way and the like. وَلَا يَدْفِنُهُ لَكِنْ إِذَا لَمْ يُوجَدْ مَنْ يَدْفِنُهُ مِنَ الْكُفَّارِ فَإِنَّ الْمُسْلَمْ يُوَارِيهِ بَأَنْ يُلْقِيهِ فِي حُفْرَ مَنْعًا لِلْتَدَرُّجِ جُثَّتِهِ. The Shaykh said, likewise, the Muslim does not bury a non-Muslim same way, or he bury a Muslim, or with the Muslims in the Muslim graveyard. If there is no one to take care of that person, then the Muslim now is upon that Muslim to take that family member who died and put him in a hole, and that's it, and put dirt so that people will not be affected by them. That's if there is nobody else that taking care of that. وكذلك لذلك لإلقاء قتل بدر في القليب. Because of the kuffar who died in Badr, they were thrown in this well. وكذا حكم المرتد كتارك الصلاة عمدا وصاحب البدع المكفر. Likewise, the same ruling is for someone who does not pray. أين the one who is like his name Ibrahim, Abdullah, Abdul Rahman. Her name is Aisha, Khadija. But they don't pray. Pray. That's okay. Allah Rahul Rahim. They don't pray. For those who are apostate, wal-iyadu billah, left Islam, same thing. You don't pray on them. You don't wash their body. You don't shroud them and the like. That's why Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala, in one of his fatwa, he mentioned, he says, if a person know that that person who died in his family, whether it is his father or a son, or whatever he is, was not praying, that person should not deceive the Muslims and bring his body to the Muslim to be washed. Shouldn't.
Even though he's he lived in Islam, he believed. Just he doesn't pray, but
he doesn't pray. Yes.
But he, I mean, but he's still
no.
He's a Muslim.
No, he's not. Because he don't pray, that take him out of Islam. You see the importance of the salat. Importance of the salat. Because of him, he's not praying. Of course, some of the ulama, they differ. Some of them, they say, this ruling applies on someone who denied the salat. So there is no such thing, salat. Because he's denying one of the pillars of Islam. But others, from them, Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen, and they have strong proofs, they says no. Even if a person believe in the prayer, yes, you tell him, you believe that the prayer is important. Yes, it's important. But he don't pray out of negligence. They said still he leave the Islam. That's why as another point we have to, like, if we have anyone in our families that they not praying, we gotta make sure to make our efforts to call them to the truth so they begin to pray. You see? And we tell them, ya akhi, subhanAllah, this is a very important issue. Why you're not praying? Alright, it's easy, it's only good for you. It purify you, it clean you from your sins, it's raise your levels with Allah, and you pray with the good people, with the righteous people. Huh? Subhanallah.
You pray sometimes, sometimes.
قال الشيخ ويشترط أن يكون الماء الذي يغسل به طهورا مباحا. He's gonna do the English translation now, inshallah, to finish this portion. The Shaykh, he says, likewise, he says that water that to be used for the washing, he has to be pure and has to be permissible, lawful, not stolen or taken away by force and the like. And it's better to be cold, unless if there is a need for it to be heated, inshallah ta'ala, for instance, if it's it'd be easier like that, more efficient to you to remove some impurities, or if it's extremely cold and the like. Likewise, the washing of the deceased body should take place in a secluded area, away from others, people. For instance, inside of a room or a tent, if there is no room in a tent or the like. Okay, not in an open area. Likewise, now, how to wash the body? He says, first of all, they lay the person on a platform or the like, on a bed. Usually they're like wooden bed or something like that. And you cover that person, his aura, with an izar, with a sheet or something like that. Between his belly button and his knees. That's an obligatory. Then you take off their clothing. You don't take their clothing. Now you cover the aura first, then you take their clothing off. And they will be put on a bed, wooden, something like that, but it's bent. Okay? It's elevated. From where the head is, okay, but lower in the other side, okay, slightly bent and tilted from the side of the feet. Why? So when you pour the water what? Run smoothly down, okay? Don't settle there. And who attend this? The person who is supposed to wash the body, and anyone who he may need to as assistance, okay? Because sometimes a person maybe, you know, need more than one person to handle, okay? And it is disliked for other people to attend, meaning no spectators. She's not a time people just there to wash, to just watch or blah. Person who be there to wash the body, and if anyone that may assist them. And briefly, how this process is done, that the person who is washing the body, raise the head of the deceased person close to the sitting position. And then he will pass his hand on the belly of the deceased person and push him, you know, so that, but gently, pushing against the belly and gently, so that if anything was about to get out, you know, excrements or the like, then inshallah ta'ala will come out. And then at that time, we'll pour a lot of water so that whatever came out from the body of the deceased person will go, will be washed by the water. And then the person who is washing the body put cloth on his hand or something and make the istinja, wash the person. And then he intend to perform the ghusl for that person, say Bismillah, and perform the wudu, like the wudu for the salat. Meaning he washed the body parts for that deceased person, as a person will perform the wudu, except for the madmada and istinsha. Okay, but it's enough to just pass water on his mouth and teeth and put a little bit of water in that person's nose. But he does not put water in his nose like that or in his mouth, but just pass a wet cloth or something like that. Then he will wash his head and his beard with a water that is mixed with soap and cedar. And he washed the right parts of the body. You know? Starting with the neck, and then the shoulders, under the shoulders, then the thighs and the legs, and then he will put it on his left side to wash the back of the body. Then put him on his right side, and do the same thing for the left side. And mix the water with cedar and with soap. And it's better and recommended to have a cloth or something, piece of cloth to wash the body with. And what is obligatory is to wash the deceased person like this, in this way, once. And if he's clean, alhamdulillah. And what is recommended is 3 times. It is recommended to do this process 3 times. To wash the body and do it again 3 times. But after 3 times, may a person still is not clean, then you can add more until 7. And it is also the sunnah that the last wash that you mix water with camphor. Why? Because the camphor give the body become solid, rigid. You know, and you keep it firm. Give firmness to the skin. Okay, give firmness to the skin. And also, it cool down the body. And also, it give a good smell. For these reasons, the camphor, it is to be put in the last time. Then you can dry the deceased body with a towel and the like, trim his mustache, if he's a man, if he has a long mustache, check their nails, subhanAllah, even when they die. Look at this beautiful religion of Islam. Trim their nails, Allahu Akbar. Trim their nails. If they are long, take the hair of their armpit, under their armpit, and whatever you take from their body, you save it, don't throw it in the trash, you save it and put it with them. When you shroud them, it stays inside with them. The woman, when it comes to her head, if she has a long hair, then they will braid it, 3 braids, and be put behind her head. This is how the body is washed.
is there any particular niyat that you recite on you before you start to wash the body?
What we just said right now. As for what other people do, that's why we're learning this class. Whatever we learn this class, that's what we do, inshallah. As for what the people say and recite and do, Quran, that stuff is not from the Sunnah of the Prophet. They shouldn't do that. They should learn how to do it the right way and leave anything that is not right. Now the Shaykh, the last point he mentioned, what if in certain cases you cannot wash a person? They will burn very bad. And if you start washing them, they will like what? Fall apart. Okay? Or the one who is deceased is a woman, but she died somewhere among men. No husband. The husband is not one of them. Or a man died in an area amongst women. That's it. It's him and a bunch of women, and his wife is not one of them. Under all of these circumstances, the Shaykh, he says, these people, they are not to be washed, but tayammum will be performed by wiping on their face and the hands from behind a barrier, which is a piece of cloth and the like. Likewise, the Shaykh says, if a person cannot wash the entire body, but only a part of it, they wash what they can. They wash what they can. And they make the tayammum for the rest that they couldn't. And then he says, it is recommended, mustahab, for a person who washed a deceased body to take a bath himself after they finish, but it's not obligatory, he said. It's not wajib. It's not an obligation. And these are the rulings and regulations that the Shaykh Hafidahullah brought in Al-Mulakhas Al-Fiqhi as related to Taghseel Al-Mayyit, the washing of the deceased, of course the Muslim. It's not permissible to wash the body of a non-Muslim. In the next class, inshallah ta'ala, we're going to learn about the rulings of takfeen, of shrouding. After the washing, then you shroud the body, and after that, the rulings of the salat and the burial of the deceased person. هذا وصلى الله وسلم على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا.